Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to my talk. There are a great many things on the FOSDEM schedule this year, so thank you very much for choosing to come along to mine. My name's Liam Proven. I'm a technical writer at SUSE, and this is called Starting Over. Obligatory disclaimer, because I have to. I work for SUSE, and SUSE sponsors my attendance at FOSDEM and has for the last few years, but I am not talking about any SUSE ideas, technologies, products. This is entirely my own work. I am just using a SUSE presentation template to thank them for hosting me and making it possible for me to be here. So, I have been discussing the ideas behind this talk with people for a while. For some people, it is wildly controversial or confusing. So I will try to set some context. The previous two talks that I did at FOSDEM were in some senses leading up to this, so I will start by recapping what I talked about then. The first talk was in 2018. It was called The Circuit Less Traveled. It posited that the consolidation of the computer industry in the 90s had a terrible cost. We collectively threw away a hugely diverse assortment of operating systems and programming languages and tools with some amazing capabilities that are completely missing from systems today, such as Plan 9, which was what the guys who created Unix did next, basically Unix 2.0, in Moss's Occam, and the operating system that it ran under, Parhelion's Helios, tools for efficiently, easily building massively parallel mesh computers and clusters. AT&T's Inferno, effectively Plan 9.2 or Unix 3.0, Dow Group's DOS and Intent and Elate, a family of operating systems which delivered true processor-independent binaries, compiled software that ran at native speed on any supported CPU, even computers with a mixture of different CPUs. Or even things like Apple's Newton, a friendly, connected, smart personal assistant that went in your pocket, which was in 1993 far more radical and innovative than the iPhone was in 2007. Instead of any of these, the computer industry took a step backwards. It threw away almost all of the development of the 1970s and 1980s, and it consolidated onto two operating systems which originated on DEC Corporation mini computers from the 1970s. One of these operating systems was the result of hiring the team that built DEC's VMS operating system and getting them to finish the portable version of OS 2. The marketing department of Microsoft called this new technology, NT for short. The other platform was various versions of Unix. Now, I've deliberately chosen these screenshots to show the family resemblance. These efforts unarguably delivered successful products that worked amazingly well. But we have lost a lot of powerful ideas and technologies, and instead, within a few years, we acquired decades of technical debt. The second talk was called Generation Gaps. In it, I tried to demolish some myths about how computers evolved and developed. Computers do not evolve by jumps forward, with each generation offering more speed, more storage, and in general, better than they were before. Actually, it's kind of the reverse. Our industry is powered by big business, and what drives that forward is persuading customers to junk their existing hardware and software and buy new stuff. The way they've been doing this for about the last 50 years is that every decade or so, give or take, the industry introduces smaller, simpler, cheaper computers, incompatible with the ones that came before. They do this by discarding a lot of the complexities of the previous generation, which means that each generation is actually inferior to the previous one in important ways. It can't run the software from the previous generation of computers, so you have to throw away all your software and buy new software. So, in the late 60s, mini computers junked all of the mainframes, rich operating systems, hypervisors, hierarchical storage, intelligent peripherals. Instead, they were smaller, simpler, cheaper desk-side machines with dumb terminals and maybe a tape drive. but they were cheap enough a department could buy one instead of a whole company renting a mainframe, and a department could share it and use it interactively. Then in the late 70s, microprocessors came along and they created microcomputers, which replaced mini computers, which were now big and powerful, with what started off as programmable terminals. And they developed into single-user microcomputers, still like the early mini computers, based on a big case full of separate boards controlled by a dumb terminal. But they didn't have the fancy multitasking, multi-user operating systems. They didn't have user accounts or security. They didn't do email or communications. Instead, everybody got their own computer with a dramatically simpler OS that looked a little bit like the old familiar mini computer ones, but were, of course, totally incompatible. Then in the 1980s, these shrunk down further into little integrated, all-in-one, cheap home computers. You didn't get an operating system at all anymore. You got usually just a basic interpreter in a ROM chip. You got a cassette recorder for storage. There were no compilers anymore. You wrote your own programs, or you typed them in from a magazine, or